This is
KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop.
It's AT Explained. I'm Matt Largie. Spam, the canned meat product, helped the Allied soldiers win World War II. Later, it helped baby boomers and their parents stretch that food budget a little bit further. Spam also served as the centerpiece for one of Austin's odder and more popular festivals. Someone asked about it for AT Explained, and KUT's Jimmy Moss explored what happened to Spamorama.
Maybe you grew up on it. Maybe it's a guilty pleasure. For some, just saying the word spam elicits a visceral response.
My name is James Nicholas Kincaid, and I'd like to be referred to as Nick.
Nick grew up and went to school in Austin, and for him, Spamorama does the same.
I remember going there once when I was a kid, maybe like 10 years old, and being absolutely disgusted by everything.
You hear? Visceral.
I was a picky eater, and the thought of people eating like Spam ice cream horrified me. So when I tell people about it, it's like they don't even believe that it was a real thing that exists.
Nick is all grown up now and works for Austin's Watershed Protection Department, and now kind of misses Spamorama.
I was just wondering what the heck happened to it. I remember it being a weird thing from my childhood, and now it's gone. So
it was a cold winter's day, and I was lamenting the fact that everywhere you looked, every other weekend, there was a chili cook-off.
That's David Arnsberger, one of the co-founders of Spamorama.
And I said, you know what? Anybody can make chili. You just take some kind of meat and some kind of chili powder, and if you're from north of the Red River, you can even throw in beans. But if you could make Spam edible, that would be a feat. And so I went, Spamorama.
Arnsberger started life in Austin, like many wandering souls back in the late 60s and early 70s, in a band, the Uranium Savages. The band was made up of artists and satirists. It hit all the right notes for the time in Austin.
I was afflicted with parodyism, or whatever. I don't know if you can make that into a noun, but I, every time I hear a song, I immediately can change the words. And sometimes for the worse or sometimes for the better. At the time, the Uranium Savages were like the number one band in town at Soap Creek Saloon. And the owner there was a friend of ours, so I said, how about doing a Spam cook-off here? And he said, okay. We didn't expect many people to show up, but we had about 300 people there that first year.
That was April Fool's Day, 1978. Many entries captured the irreverent spirit of the event. Things like
a pan on like a Coleman stove with a cover on it. And as the judges walked around, he opened it up and there was Spam in the pot, still in the can. And another guy covered a chunk of Spam from out of the can with Pepto-Bismol and called it Spam a la Pepto.
There were categories for best taste, showmanship, and perhaps the most coveted, the worst tasting dish. And after a few years at Soap Creek Saloon, Spamorama became what Arnsberger calls a movable feast. Essential ingredients stayed the same: live music, celebrity judges, and Spam dishes. But there was always something new, like a year when drinks were entered.
One guy had a blender, and as the judges walked around, he goes, I'm making bloody Spamaries. And he dropped the vodka in and the tomato juice in and a chunk of Spam and hit blend.
And if you prefer something sweeter, there was the Spamarita, a frozen margarita with suspended chunks of Spam.
The incredible outpouring of people wanting to be here doing Spamorama. We had to fence off our restaurant parking lot.
That's Tom Davis, the owner of Green Mesquite Barbecue and a few other restaurants. The Green Mesquite is the only business still standing that hosted the event.
I had to get special insurance that day. My insurance company was freaking out that I was doing this. But they showed up anyway. He gave me a hard time in the office. Those guys, he brought his whole family. It was hilarious.
Arnsberger and crew added athletic events for their Spam Olympics, eating contests, and Spam relays. There was a Spam tug-of-war with a special treat for the losers.
If you got pulled through, you got immersed in a kiddie pool full of Spam and, you know, the gelatinous substance inside. I'm not sure what exactly that is.
There was a movie made about Spamorama. The Smithsonian has documented it. CBS Television was interested but couldn't make the event, so Arnsberger staged a fake Spamorama on Auditorium Shores with one of the signature events, the Spam Toss.
At like 6 o'clock on a Friday morning, I had teams come out there. Crazy Carl and a bunch of guys came out, and they had this great video on TV, national TV, in a blue sky with these pink chunks of Spam floating.
And since the Spam Toss traveled well, I thought I could recreate it on a 37-degree day at Peace Park with question asker Nick Kincaid.
If you would do the honors, crack open that Spam.
Smells less like bacon than I thought it would. So I just do the whole thing?
No, I take it out and toss.
Here we go.
Yeah. Wow, still together. That's crazy.
I guess there's some advantages to a 37 degree.
It's going long. We should have been competing all these years.
Well, we just won the Spam Olympics.
I think we just won.
It was cold by Austin standards. We were the only ones out in the park, and the meat held together like a cold canned meat should. So what exactly is Spam, and how can it stay more or less together after being slung 50 feet?
Welcome to the Spam Museum here in Austin, Minnesota.
Yes, you heard correctly. There is a museum devoted to Spam, and it is in Austin, Minnesota.
And it started out as an unbranded product. It was just spiced ham in a can. And Jay knew that he needed to create a brand name for this to differentiate it on the grocery store.
That's Nicole Bainey. She's the Spam brand manager on a promotional video for Hormel Foods. Spam was created by Jay Hormel in 1937. The original recipe included chopped pork shoulder meat with ham, salt, water, sugar, and sodium nitrite. It is fully cooked, pressed into a block, and canned. Spam was a staple in the war effort, and back home, it was a simple solution for family meals. It also became the kind of punchline Arnsberger could build a whole day around.
The thing I think that made it work the most is Spam is an all-American icon. Everybody has heard of Spam. Most people from our generation and the generation before, the World War II parents, ate it. And, you know, half the people either love it or they hate it.
Things were going well. Attendance ballooned into the thousands. And for a while, Hormel didn't notice. But as Arnsberger remembers it, in the late 80s, a Hormel representative noticed a Spamorama t-shirt and found its artist, Jim Franklin.
He tracked down Jim Franklin, and Hormel sent him a cease and desist. You know, stop that artwork. You're not allowed to use that. That's our trademark. And they asked him who was doing it, and it took him another year to find me.
Back then, Hormel did not play when it came to folks mocking its products, big or small. It sued Jim Henson Productions over a Muppets movie where an evil pig character has a similar name.
Howdy, fool, stinky, froggy man and friends. I am Spam, high priest of the boars.
A judge threw it out, saying Hormel failed to prove damages. Writing in her decision, quote, one might think Hormel would welcome the association with a genuine source of pork. Arnsberger tried to skirt a legal battle another year by calling his event the Spayum-a-rama, with a Y-U-M in the middle. But with the weight of a giant meat corporation bearing down, he negotiated exclusive rights to use the phrase Spam-a-rama and hold the event with a few conditions. One was that Hormel now owned the trademark for Spamorama. Another condition was to not play with the food. Some were followed faithfully, others not so much. Years after the settlement, Arnsberger's personal life changed. He and his then-wife moved briefly to Colorado. He tried to run the 1999 Spamorama remotely. It became too unwieldy, so he sold his rights to Spamorama. And here begins the story of the end.
When I came back from Colorado, it went up for grabs, okay? You could bid on it. So Tom and I bid on it. At the time, he was running Schultz Garden, and they went, no, we don't want to do it where they sell beer, you know? Well, we sell beer at Spamorama, yeah, but we own a public place.
Arnsberger failed to win back his baby. It bounced around to a number of promoters and, in Arnsberger's words, went fallow. In 2011, it was organized by one of Arnsberger's former partners. He says he was not allowed to be part of it. Arnsberger left work early that day to go see what had come of it.
And I put on my coat with a hoodie on. I went and paid $10 to get into Spamorama. It was raining and 37 degrees. Well, they were packing the sound gear off of the stage. I was going, I thought the Uranium Savages were going to play. Said, no, man, we're not going to have music today. And there was only about three entries underneath the big tent.
Spamorama was held for the last time that year at Waterloo Park. Cressandra Thibodeau directed Spamorama the movie. She says Spamorama changed when it became a commodity, something bid on and passed along. She says what's happened to David Arnsberger is analogous to Austin's story.
This guy was making the scene in Austin, and now he's living in a small apartment far from the edge of the beating heart.
Arnsberger has kept his toe in the scene. He hosts Texas Radio Live each week on Sun Radio.
These people who have been here for 40 years and know David are giving him what they can provide for him to exist and keep going. They're honoring one of the people who have made Austin so great that it became so wonderful and fantastic we can barely live here.
And that's what happened to Spamorama. Until
recently, here's the latest update. A gentleman came to me, I'm not going to mention any names, but came to me with a venue.
It turns out Arnsberger thinks he can put Humpty Dumpty back. Look for it this summer, somewhere near you. Jimmy Moss, KUT News.
More at atexplained.org. I really suggest going there. You got to see the photos from Spamorama if you haven't been before. You can also subscribe to this podcast there, atexplained.org. You can also ask your own question, atexplained.org. AT Explained is a production of KUT in Austin. I'm Matt Largy. There is the food.